Diseases of the heart. Okay, diseases of the heart. What are some of the ones we've talked about? Some of the issues with the heart, what have we talked about? Forgiveness. Envy, jealousy, along the same lines. Okay, so we've talked about forgiveness, envy, and obviously we'll have another topic today, but I'm not going to tell you what it is immediately, so we'll keep you in suspense. Does anyone need one of these handouts that hasn't had one yet? Okay. Tom, do you mind, or somebody, the Thorntons and a couple over here on the left, too? Well, I'm going to go ahead and let's have a prayer before we get started, and then go ahead and start our class. Father, we're thankful for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for today and this opportunity that we have to study your word. Particularly thankful for your son and the blessings that we have through him. We pray that you would be with us this morning and help us to have an open mind to your word and the things that are there, that we might be better servants in your kingdom. Father, we're especially mindful the White family. We pray that you'd be with them and that you might comfort them and help us to support Sherry and Hannah and the larger family any way that we can. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Okay. So, one left. What a deal. I can make copies later unless there's more needed. Okay. So, little exercise first. Whiteboard's more for me just for my memory than for you. But so what is the different? What is different about kids today versus when we were growing up? When we were kids. Right? So when you think about adjectives to describe kids today versus when we were kids, and even when we were kids, right, it was different when I was a kid versus when some of you were kids, and vice versa, right, in all different directions. So what are some of the differences when you think about kids today? What are some adjectives that come to mind, or short phrases? Okay, technology. Yep, just... Okay, lack of respect. Yeah, just yell them out. Instant gratification. Entitlement. Arrogant. Tough crowd. 10 grandkids and they're lazy. Indifferent. I'm already hearing belt stories, okay? Yeah, I heard you. Smarter, okay? Okay, nothing. Okay. Situational ethics. What else? When you think about kids today versus when we were kids. Okay. Okay, self-centered. Okay, different type. Well, it might be easier. Okay. All right, so we're going to hold this for a moment, and we'll come back to this. Okay, so the topic for this morning is ingratitude. Okay, ingratitude. So that can be, if you will, a disease of the heart, it's not being grateful. So what does that mean? What does ingratitude mean? Have you ever had the feeling, well, I don't want to define it by asking the question. So what does ingratitude mean? Not thankful? Not appreciating what you have? Anything else? Okay, so if you're grateful, there's a sense or a piece in there that, what was the first part you said, that you appreciate something that you don't deserve, right? And ingratitude, the flip side of that might be then that you feel that you deserve everything, right? That it should all be yours. Therefore, there's a spirit of ingratitude. Other thoughts around ingratitude? What is it? How many of you feel that you've experienced it? Okay, where people aren't thankful, they're not appreciative, right, for things that you've done. Okay, one definition is pretty simple. I mean, lack of proper appreciation or thanks for something. All right, just lack of proper appreciation or thanks. When you think about things that you're thankful for, right? Things that you're thankful for. What are things that you're thankful for? Okay, forgiveness. I'm just going to carve this out here. So this board's more for me today than, because we'll come back to this. What else are you thankful for? Bible. Okay. Prayer. Air. Family. Go ahead, Neil. Okay. Okay, existence, hope of heaven. Okay, I'll catch. Mm-hmm. Yes, so just even, like I heard in there, food, money, Jesus was one that was raised before that. What's that? Freedom. What kind of freedom? What's that? Okay. Okay, so what are you thankful for? Oh, freedom from oppression, sorry. I thought you said oppression. I knew there was more there than... Okay. Religious freedom? Okay, we're big on freedom, which is great. Big part of our culture, right? Being an American. The church? Okay. I got Jesus right here. Didn't forget Jesus. Okay. Is that our list? It's not a bad list. Okay. So some of these things, if you were to rank them, right? You might rank in level of importance things that you're more appreciative than others, right? I mean, Jesus is, you know, is Jesus or food, right? Jesus or, you know, some of these things. Of course, we're sitting in Bible class, which already kind of predisposes us to a level of thinking, given that this is a Bible class and the Bible teacher is asking you this question. But there's, it would be interesting to see, too, right, if our kids, what our kids would say, if we asked them for a list of the things they were thankful for. And I think some of these would show up. I think definitely some of these would show up, okay, without question. When you think about, though, water, just water, right? Like, how basic do we get when we think about water? When was the last time you thanked God for water, for drinking water? I'll tell you, you know, when we went back to Jim's point, when we went to Africa, went to Ghana, when I went with the group a few years ago, and most of them aren't in here, they're teaching class, I mean, we were running out of water. And I'll tell you, you don't realize when it's 90 degrees outside and you don't have any water and you don't know where your water's going to come from, I mean, you start looking at every potential source to get some water, right, and where that's going to come from. Very basic things, certainly food, water. Then I come back here, and I'll never forget coming back from that trip, and I did this when I was 17, I came back. Water was always something that we just take for granted, right? You go into a house, and if it doesn't have running water, I mean, do we ever remember growing up in a house or our grandparents' houses or anybody who didn't have running water? Okay? If kids today walked into a house and turned the spigot, I mean, one, there wasn't a spigot, but I mean, you know, you expect water to come out, right? And you expect it to be of a certain quality. We flush our waste with drinking water. That's how rich we are. We water our grass with drinking water. Okay? Water for us is just something that, you know what? It's going to be there. Now, occasionally, we don't get enough rain. Start hearing on the news, hey, we only have for the whole city, you know, 2 months worth of drinking water. Okay, we start to get worried. Wow, 2 months. Hope it's going to rain. We ought to pray for rain. Okay, now we'll start praying for rain. But water is something that, you know, so water's just one thing. You know, indoor plumbing, toilets. I mean, I'm not going to go too far here. But, you know, when you're in Ghana, when we were in Ghana, and you have to go to the restroom, there isn't a restroom. Okay, so how many of you remember outhouses? Okay, I do. I never went, but I remember there being one. I remember going to my great-grandfather's place and my parents telling me, now, see that old shack that hadn't been used in quite a while? You know, that's where we went to the restroom. Okay, I'm like, really? I'm sure the outhouse at some point was a step up. I mean, right? I mean, it was, because when we went to Ghana, I'll tell you, you went out in a field, and you had to worry about animals seriously had to worry about animals while you were out there. We actually had people watching you go and watch for animals while you're going. Now, no one's ever going to go on that mission trip again, okay? It's a little better. Okay. But the point is, I remember coming back and being in my bathroom in the air conditioning, in privacy, without threat of animal attack, thinking, wow, this is fantastic. Okay? When was the last time you were thankful for being able to use a restroom in peace? Okay? Some of you have kids, maybe that is true. Okay? But the point is, the little things. I want to go over this, and we're going to get to some scriptures around thankfulness. Let me erase the things we're thankful for a moment. There's a model called the Kano model that's used in business. It's used in marketing and stuff. And you can draw it. It's not that critical that you see every little thing. But so I don't forget. This is satisfaction level up and down this way, right? So this is low at the bottom, low satisfaction and high satisfaction. And then left and right is just quality. Okay, this is low quality of a product and high quality of a product. Okay, put a smiley face here. This is if you're happy. This is satisfaction. This is I'm not happy. Okay, now, I'm not going to go into all the details. There's a certain line here that is the price of entry for any product. Okay, just take my word for it. Just is. You can go Google it. Okay, there's a price of entry for a product. Now, there's a performance line that you want that as your quality gets better, your satisfaction goes up. Okay, so as quality gets better, generally what happens is people's satisfaction goes up. There's a certain thing here, and this is where the apples and, everyone, it's the sweet spot they try to get to, which is called delight. Okay, and it's a line that's here. And if you can find the novelty, if you can find the thing to accelerate, the thing that they weren't expecting, okay, the thing that, so I come in to a house and it's got a toilet. I'm like, well, of course it's got an indoor toilet. Okay? That's what I'm expecting. I mean, my baseline is indoor plumbing. Okay, if I'm looking at a house. But this toilet, right, it might only use a gallon of water. Now that's something, gallon of water, that might be pretty good. Okay? Or, I need to get off the toilets. So indoor plumbing, whatever it is. Okay? The point is, look at the iPod or the iPhone. So how often does it seem like an iPhone's coming out? So here's what happens. These things quickly move to the price of entry in people's minds. Right? This is insatiable from a market perspective. So people now, hey, I got an app for this. I can look up the internet on my phone. If I come out and tell you I'm going to sell you a phone and it doesn't have internet capability, but it's a really nice phone, no one's going to buy it. Because now the price of entry is you have to have internet capability. And now they've got things on there where you can start your car from anywhere in the world. Okay, you've seen those commercials where you can get an app and you can start your car, you can lock it, you can do this, you can do it from your phone. That's delight, right? That's something special. The problem is, as we move, we're just wired the way that we think, is after a while, you're going to expect every phone's got to start your car. That's nothing, right? I want it to tell my kid what to do, right? Or I want it to manage something else. And it moves to the price of entry. It moves to just expectation. And this is why marketing and everything, they have to create all of these. So what's the danger, or is there danger? Because this is how human beings work. What's the danger in this for us as Christians? You confuse wants and needs. Okay, worried about fleshly things. Not the spirit. I didn't hear everything you said, Floyd. Okay, you're chasing after material things. Okay. You end up having a lot of these traits right here. Okay. Somebody else was saying something? Okay, you become, in your own mind, self-sufficient. The thing is, how many blessings, how many things that we really should be thankful for are sitting right in here? The things that we consider price of entry. Is this not where your drinking water is? Is this not where your shoes are? Okay. Is this not your health? Your medical care? Okay. Not getting into politics, but right? You go to the doctor, you expect, it's price of entry. You get sick, you go to a doctor, you expect them to fix you. I mean, that's your expectation. We live in America. And when a doctor tells you, you know what, I have no cure for that, that's a hard message. Because in our heads, you go to the doctor, you get fixed. The problem with this that we need to manage is that very, very quickly we can move the blessings that God gives us right into, well, of course, God, I expect it, right? Just like our kids sometimes. And we think about our kids and what they have and all of the things, you know, instant gratification, entitlement, arrogant. I mean, they sit there, this is their world. They think that everybody has a telephone. They think that everybody has a computer. Well, you know what? I mean, everybody does have a computer. Not everyone, but most people do. But I remember when I had to handwrite my papers. Hated it. Okay? I remember when I had to type. Remember? And you go back and you do the whiteout. And I thought it was such an incredible thing to have a typewriter that had the automatic correction thing on it. And then I finally, you know, now they complain that they have to do it and on the computer and, you know, how hard it is and with all of the stuff where you just basically copy it and move it and with the internet. And we didn't have the internet until Al Gore invented it. So, you know, I mean, there's so much stuff. So we really need to be careful about this piece and that stuff gets lost here even in our spiritual lives, right, that we just take for granted. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Someone read 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. I mean, if you really push yourself, you know, how many of us wear glasses or contacts? When was the last time you thanked God for glasses or contacts? I can tell you, we don't know this, but what's one of the things that was suspect that Paul's thorn in the flesh may have been? Eye trouble, eyesight. Okay, we don't know that for sure. But there are certain things where it talks about, you know, large letters and different things and how we had to write. And our eyes, if we have poor eyesight, you go to the corner, you have somebody look at it. I mean, within an hour, you can see crystal clear. Air conditioning. I mean, I don't know about you. Sandy knows. I mean, I thank God for air conditioning. You know, air conditioning is a wonderful thing for me. Some people don't like it. I can't, you know, I feel now almost, that is a price of entry for my existence. I'm sure I can get by without it, but I love air conditioning. Okay, small little things that we don't think about. What's 1 Timothy 6 through 8? Tell us. Okay, thanks. So we're going to talk about contentment in a couple of weeks and being content. But, you know, we brought nothing into this world. Certainly we can take nothing out. We have food, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Again, we'll talk about contentment in a couple of weeks, but think about how much more we desire, we want, and it's not always bad, because I don't want to move into the contentment lesson. So we can get more things, and when we're blessed with more things, what should we do? We should be thankful. I mean, so when we get more, it's not wrong to have more than just food and clothing. Okay? We need to be content with whatever level we have. That'll be a lesson in a couple of weeks. But when we have more, and we get more, and we have more blessings from God, let's not just be, have a lack of respect for God. Let's not just look for our own instant gratification. Okay, an entitlement attitude, being arrogant, and thinking about all of the things that we've bought for ourselves. Let's make sure that we're thankful. What would the first century church, if we could have 100 members of the Lord's church from the first century sit over here and be with us for 3 days, what would they think of the church today? What would they think of us as far as how we are in our mindset? Okay, so she said that the things that we said about our kids, the first century Christians might say about us, right? Wow, look at the technology they have. All of the things that they have. Lack of respect. Instant gratification. Entitlement. Think about what the first century Christians, what they went through and the things that they were looking for is the basics. Their price of entry. What was their price of entry? Pretty low. The things that they needed to be thankful for. And those are the passages that we read that people get beaten. I mean, they're beaten. I mean, this is like foreign to us, right? Paul and Silas. They're beaten, they're thrown into prison, and what do? They sing, they praise God. Okay. You have to have different expectations in your head to be beaten, thrown into prison, and sing praises to God. That's a different mindset. Yep. Because of our faith, because of where we live. So you think about some of these, you know, self-centered, indifferent. I mean, if they see, what did they have to sacrifice for Christ? You know, a lot of them, they gave up all of their possessions, they sold them, threw them into the pot, right? To be distributed as every person had need. I mean, there was real sacrifice. And when they look here, you know, would they see sacrifice? Would they see people who aren't self-centered? What about situational ethics? I mean, we're studying Acts, and Nathan is in Acts, and I can't remember, who was it say, who are we going to serve? We're going to listen to God rather than men. Who was it? Gamaliel. So, you know, but do we change our ethics? Do we change who we are based on who we're in front of or what our situation is? You know, we stand fast for the truth as long as it fits where we're at and it fits our family situation or a situation that's emotional. It's hard to make some of those decisions, isn't it, within family? Those are hard things to do. Point here isn't for us to beat ourselves up and to, you know, but it's realizing that every generation can look on the next generation and say, well, look at them. And the reason is, it's because the expectations, all of the things that were special, all of those great blessings, all of the things that God did, and we'll look, right? The Israelites, they were slaves. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And they were freed. They were freed from slavery. They were brought out. Their prayers were answered. And what did they do? They complained. Sometimes they were thirsty. Sometimes they were hungry. Sometimes, because, you know what? Back in Egypt, well, we had food to eat in Egypt. I mean, come on. That's like the basics. We had water to eat in Egypt, and now that's my expectation. So the point is for us to realize all of those things and to peel back just a little bit in our minds. What are the things, when we say take for granted, the things that for us we've just moved to that was really special at one point to now I feel entitled. That's mine. I should have it. And do we not thank God for those things? Because those things could be lost. Right? We could lose those again. And even as a country, I mean, there's more than an average amount of fear about where the country's going, just not even spiritually, but economically. And we could get to a point, right, where we take things for granted and our kids take things for granted. We see kids today who are lazy and they don't work and they don't want to work. They just want to sit in their room and they just want to play on Facebook and they just want to, they have no interest in getting a job because mom and dad will fund me forever. And there isn't that, I got to get up at, you know, 5:30 in the morning and go milk the cows and clean and work on the farm for 2 hours before I go to school and then come back. And, I mean, those were the stories I heard when I was a kid. And you know what? Aren't we happy, though, when our kids and the next generation can have something better than us? Is that bad? When can it be? Neil? Okay, we need not let the world define what better is instead of God. To whom much is given, what? Much is required. And so the more and more that we have and our children have, the higher the need for the capability to be able to manage that appropriately, right? I mean, they've got to be able to prioritize all of that. I mean, when all of you have, you know, is a magnifying glass and some bugs in the backyard and that's all that you have, I mean, that's all that you have, okay? And there's not a lot between, am I going to play with my magnifying glass today, or am I going to read my Bible, or go do something good for someone? But when I've got my magnifying glass, and my iPod, and my computer, and my this, and my that, and my bike, and my car, and my everything else, and you go on and on and on and on and on, in movie theaters, and, you know, in restaurants, and just, then it's like, wow, have I lost my way? And so part of it is managing it. And I don't want to get into all that because, well, those are other lessons. It's not about the quantity. Today's class is about, are you thankful for it? Don't lose sight of all of those things. So sometimes they're a blessing. Sometimes they're not. What did Jesus say about a rich man? I mean, it's tough going, right? It is tough to keep your way when you're rich. And you think, well, I'm not rich. You know, rich, from what I hear, is... it's more if you make more than $200,000, $250,000 a year is what the government says is rich, right? So that's not me. Okay, I'm telling you, when you're flushing your toilet with drinking water, when you can walk down, when you can drive from this point 10 minutes in different directions and hit 5 different grocery stores that are just loaded with food, I'm telling you, you're rich. Okay, because you go in grocery stores in other countries, and I mean, it's this big, okay, or it's a market, and after you swing your hand to get all the flies off of it, you decide what you're going to buy. Okay, I mean, we are so rich, so it's not bad that we have the grocery store. It's not bad that we have. The thing is, do we just put it in the expectation that, hey, that's the price of it. Hey, God, this I expect that much. Really? Thank God for a grocery store? I mean, are we not in, you know, the 21st century? So it's not having the arrogant, self-centered, right, entitlement attitude, but it's being thankful. Let me hit Floyd and then I'll get to... You have to prioritize. It's all right. Let's not lose our way, right? God blessed many, many, many faithful people who were richer than us, okay? And you have to keep, it's about thankfulness. It's about understanding where the blessings come from. Ken, and then Sandy. That's right. Absolutely. That's right. The water is contaminated. Even in this country, when we go to one of the places that's been affected by a hurricane, a tornado, or a flood, and you see people of all walks of life, I don't care what their livelihood is, what their economic standing is, they're there and they're grateful to get a pair of shoes. They're grateful to take a box of canned food that most of us couldn't eat, take it outside the building, sit down, and start to feed their family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the point, is that let's not lose sight of what we have, and let's make sure that we're not unthankful. I mean, what are the effects of being unthankful? How does it impact our relationships with others? Okay, you think you're haughty? I mean, when people aren't thankful to you when you've put yourself out, how does it make you feel? Frustrated, mad, taken advantage of, hurt. Okay, so when people around us extend themselves, we need to be thankful. We need to recognize that and not just be self-centered and think, well, that's how they're supposed to, I expect, when I'm sick, I expect all of you to bring me something. Do people not have that attitude? Well, I didn't get very many meals. Okay? Nobody came and visited me. Now, should we visit? Should we help? Yes, we should. But you know what? When people do, you need to be thankful. Because there are people who have no one in this world. They have no one. And we have the church, is one of the things that we put up here as being thankful. Right? We know that in Genesis 40, I don't have time for all of these. I took too long to set all this up. I apologize. Genesis 40, the butler, remember the butler and Joseph? The butler didn't remember Joseph when he got out of prison. After he interpreted his dream for him, he didn't remember Joseph. We already talked about in Exodus 17, 2 through 4, the children of Israel and how they just murmured against Moses. And you know, Moses just over and over, all of that ingratitude for everything that he's doing through God for those people. It impacts our relationship with God. Having an unthankful heart towards each other and towards Him, and not slowing our brains down enough to recognize everything that we have. In Luke 17, 11 through 19, remember the lepers? What's the situation there? Jesus healed 10, and what happened? One came back and thanked him. Jesus said, what? Where are the nine? Right? If you look at that chart, the model, two things. When you remind yourself, when you put those inputs into your mind, okay, you remind yourself, slow yourself down and think about all these things that you think are just entitled to you as an American Christian. And you slow down and you think about all of those things, it'll work its way around to the judgment will be God is good. And when God is good, and you make that judgment, when you get to that place, and it sits in your heart, it will drive action. And one of those actions will be thankfulness back to God. Praise to God. Right? When we come here, and we're not happy, and all that God has done, it's like when you extend yourself for people in your family or for your children over and over, and you give everything to them, and they come in and they're just walking around and they're mopey. And it's like, what do you have to be so down about? Right? You just want to slap them. Do you know how good you have it? No, they don't. They don't. Because they haven't experienced something different. They haven't experienced it. So an unthankful heart, if we come through and what goes into our head is because the marketing departments and the world and everyone else has told us, well, I know this iPod's good, but you need this one, or this, or, you know, this car's good, but you really need this one, or this suit's good, but you need this one, or this pair of shoes, but you really need this one, and you keep filling your head with all of that, then when you come around, you look at your situation, your filter on your own life is, you know what, my life stinks. The judgment's bad, it poisons your heart, and there's no good behavior that comes out of it. There's not thankfulness. There's not rejoicing, because our filter on our own world is so poisoned. So the challenge for us is to clear those out, right? Go back to the basics. Go back and remember, if you were in Japan, right? Clean air, somebody said air. Well, I took it off. We don't have air full of radiation or concerns about radiation at the moment. That's a blessing. It's a blessing that we can live and be as comfortable as we are today. Ken? Well, not now. That's right. Absolutely. A couple of verses, you can write these down. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, what? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Colossians 3:15 tells us to be thankful. Colossians 4:2 tells us to be diligent in prayer, but with thanks. And if your prayers aren't with thanksgiving, your prayers aren't going to be acceptable prayers. And read Psalm 100 when you get a chance. Thanks for your time this morning.